Today I'm going to be preaching from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to be looking at verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The title of today's sermon is Thanksgiving. Is it worth celebrating? Thanksgiving. Is it worth celebrating? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Listen to what God's word says. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen to that again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you do for us, God. Thank you, Lord, for the little things like the weather you bless us with. Thank you for the big things that you bless us with, like our health, Lord, and family and friends that love us, Lord. Thank you, God, for all the miracles that you've blessed us with this year, from the birth of brand new babies, Lord, to seeing marriages come together, to new marriages, Lord, to baptisms, God, to all these great things, Lord, that have taken place. Lord, we give you thanks for those. God, we give you thanks for the little miracles that happen every day behind the scenes that we don't see. We give you thanks for protecting us when we drive. We give you thanks, Lord, for protecting us as we go to work and we come home. God, we give you thanks for protecting our nation and for letting us live in such a wonderful United States of America. God, we give you thanks for all these things, but we thank you most for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. God, we thank you for eternal life. We thank you that one day we can be in heaven with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. So today, of course, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. We just got 4 days, and 4 days Thanksgiving is going to be here. Is everybody ready for Thanksgiving? Who's ready for Thanksgiving? Who's ready to eat on Thanksgiving? Yeah, exactly. See, we got priorities, don't we? I think Thanksgiving is awesome. It's one of the greatest American holidays. The reason I think it's one of the greatest American holidays is because it's founded on Christian beliefs. Can you believe that? Like, our whole nation celebrates a day that started from Christian beliefs. So to me, Thanksgiving is absolutely awesome. But you know what? In society, I think they're trying to get rid of Thanksgiving. I mean, I think they're trying to get rid of Thanksgiving. You might say, Pastor, I don't know. You might be crazy on this one. But I want to tell you, here's why I think Thanksgiving is starting to fade away in society. Because I went to the store a couple weeks ago. I couldn't even find a Thanksgiving tablecloth. Would you believe that? I didn't see any pilgrim cutouts. I couldn't get any God bless this meal stuff. I couldn't find even a turkey centerpiece. Like, what happened to all the Thanksgiving stuff? So I went to Walmart and said, what happened? Oh, we got this little section with some stuff over here. But Thanksgiving's 3 weeks away. I went to Dollar General. I said, hey, where's all the Thanksgiving stuff? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore. There might be a couple things over in the clearance section. Thanksgiving's a month away. Where is all the Thanksgiving stuff? It seems like the stores, they changed the colors from orange and black to red and green overnight. I mean, as soon as Halloween is over, they get rid of the pumpkins and the witches for Christmas trees and Santa Clauses. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that frustrate anybody else in here? I'm like, where is my Thanksgiving? I'm thankful for what God has done for me. I want Thanksgiving to last. It's like for corporate America that Thanksgiving is just kind of the speed bump between Halloween and Christmas. And I wonder, why is that? Thanksgiving is a special time. If you've been looking at some of those Black Friday ads, you'll see more and more and more stores are open on Thursday. Why is that? It used to be Black Friday. It used to be fun. You get outside at 3 in the morning waiting for those stores to open at 5 o'clock to see what kind of deals you could get. But now everything opens up on Thursday. What happened to sitting down with your family? Thanking God for all your blessings, eating a turkey and praising God for all he's done for you. What happened to those days? Where do they go? I recently saw this cartoon in the paper about a pilgrim and his wife there getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And the pilgrim was getting ready to serve dinner and his wife was setting up the Christmas tree. He said, hey, can that wait till at least we finish eating dinner? I mean, that's what our society is doing. They're just trying to skip past all of Thanksgiving and go straight to Christmas. But we can't skip past Thanksgiving. We have to give thanks to God. If you love Jesus, He's your Lord and Savior, then you should want to give Him thanks. Thanksgiving should be important to you. Thanksgiving's important to me. I say Thanksgiving can't be skipped. Thanksgiving can't be overlooked. Thanksgiving is important, and we have to celebrate Thanksgiving. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. And so, but should Thanksgiving be one day? Every day we're supposed to give thanks to God, aren't we? But you know, as a group of people today, if we're to be honest with ourselves, we probably don't give thanks to God every single day. We ask God and we ask God. We're like some stubborn little children sometimes, you know, that don't get their way. Like, please God for this. Please God help me for this. Please God help me for this. What happened to saying thank you for all the things He has provided? God has done so many great things for us. Thanksgiving is such a special day to me. I don't ever want it to go away. And again, because it was founded for Christianity. I mean, that was one of the things that took place. These people came over and started Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's special. I want to share some of that with you. But one of the things I like about Thanksgiving is it doesn't commemorate some battle. It's not like Veterans Day. It doesn't celebrate somebody's birthday like George Washington's birthday. It doesn't celebrate somebody's anniversary. Well, all those things are important. Thanksgiving celebrates our time that our nation set apart time to serve and to thank the Christian God. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's why I love Thanksgiving. Listen to this man. In 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation. He said, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation I make, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, not just one, both houses of Congress, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of the Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of the great and glorious being who is the author of all good that was, that is, or ever will be." Amen. What a man! Folks, we had leaders in our country that loved the Lord. I praise the Lord for a president like that, for a Senate and a House that came together, that wanted to rejoice and give God the praise for what He does instead of His man trying to take the praise and glory for ourselves. I sure hope our president-elect realizes that too in his whole cabinet. That's what we need back in America today. Thanksgiving, such a special day. I could talk all day about it. It's probably one of my favorite holidays. And so how did Thanksgiving even start? I mean, who knows? Anybody in school knows. I'm sure they're talking about this stuff in school. Like, who are the people that kind of started Thanksgiving? Any of our school people know? Hannah, what do you think?
The Pilgrims
started. The Pilgrims! Yeah, the Pilgrims. What did they look like?
They had these big black hats with a white fabric around them. And it came out, like, around their head.
Yeah?
Or, like, formal and, like, tuxedo-type clothes.
Well, so they're pretty cool looking people, right? Probably, right? I know they had pretty cool beliefs from what I know. Thanksgiving is neat. And so, yeah, it came from the Pilgrims. They're the ones that kind of started it. You remember the story. I want to share a little of the story with you. You're going to say, "Well, I thought this was church, not history." Well, it's important you know this history. It's important you know of how we gave this special day, dedicated it to the Lord. So I want to share this with you. The Pilgrims, I don't know what they teach in school, but I'm going to tell you what I know. The Pilgrims, they were basically part of this independent church that separated from the Church of England. They met secretly in this town called Scrooby. King James I, he demanded groups like them conform to the official church. And if they didn't conform to that official Church of England, he would harry them out of the land. So he booted them out of the land. Well, these Pilgrims, they left England. And they ended up reestablishing originally their church in Holland. But after the people were lured away, there was a lot of wickedness taking place there. And so their pastor, his name was John Robinson. He prayerfully prayed and prayed and prayed. And God told him to lead this church to a new place. And so what happened is, after several different setbacks, These group of church members, or pilgrims as we know them today, joined with a team of adventurers, and they set sail for America on September 6th of 1620 in a really awesome ship. Does anybody know what the ship name was? Addie. The Mayflower, absolutely. Boy, we have some smart people. So after 2 months, they braved this harsh elements, the storm-tossed sea. They missed their target of Virginia, and they landed at Cape Cod, which is now in Massachusetts. So before they got off the ship, they were getting ready to get off the ship. They were going to start a new nation. They were going to go over there, and they were going to start a new church in America. But before they got off that ship, they signed this self-governing document. They wanted to have some way, how do we make sure that things stay in alignment? And so they signed something called the Mayflower. Anybody know what that is? Compact. The Mayflower Compact. So they came together. There was no pressure. They came together and said, guys, we got to get together. We got to find a way to govern ourselves. What are we going to do? So they signed this Mayflower Compact. Listen to how this started out. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King and Defender of the Faith, having undertaken for the glory of God, and listen, this is why they came, for the advancement of the Christian faith, we honor our king and country to voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Do by these presents, solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves and together into one civil body politic. So they came together to serve and to do this great thing for God. Not any God, but what did it say? To advance the Christian faith. These are the pilgrims. These are the people that started Thanksgiving in America. I think it's awesome that we had such great leaders. What would happen today if we had great leaders like that today that depended on God? Can you even imagine what the world would be like? It would be awesome again. We had George Washington. You know, Abraham Lincoln got saved while he was working on this whole Thanksgiving, putting Thanksgiving into effect here in the United States. Thanksgiving has been a great, great thing. So back to the story about these pilgrims. After trying to get to Virginia, that didn't work out. So they were moved around by strong winds and things. The pilgrims prayed, and they discerned that God would help them to settle where they originally landed, which is now called Provincetown Harbor. So already December at this point, they had to build some homes. They had to build some shelters. So they started doing that. When they built these shelters and they built this church building, they had service there. But do you know what? The winter was so rough, about half of the pilgrims died.
Actually, while they were building still,
they died.
Can
you believe that? What if half your family, all in a couple of days, passed away? That's a big deal. So over the whole winter, over half of these people, they died. That's sad. When one person passes away, that makes us sad, doesn't it? But all these people are passing away. So that's kind of tough. And so spring comes, and then they're out of food. Now, what gets you crabby? Having no food, that gets me crabby. So these guys have no food. Half of the people that came over with them are dead. They're in a tough situation. But in March, there's this Indian that comes over named Samoset, and he surprised the pilgrims by greeting them in English. So this Native American, he comes over, and he starts speaking English to them. And so that's kind of a strange thing, but he'd learned it from some traders on some fishing expeditions. And a week later, Samoset returns with Squanto, a former captive of the English slave traders, who had been taken to Spain, and a monk rescued him and taught him about the Christian faith, where he got saved. So Squanto is back there in America, and he's kind of helping. And so he had a good chance where he could have some revenge on these English people. But he didn't do that. Instead, Squanto, what did he do? He helped us. And so he taught these people how to fish for cod, how to plant corn, stalk deer, plant pumpkins, skin beavers, eat berries that were edible. He was awesome. Think about how awesome God made this whole situation work. Here are these pilgrims. They come from a foreign land, come into a new land so they can worship God. And the Lord sends them to this guy named Squanto, a Native American who understands English, who is saved, knows Jesus is his Lord and Savior, and helps them learn how to do the work that they need to do. What a cool guy. Only God could do that. Puts the right person at the right place at the right time. And what he did was ended up saving many people's lives. Governor Bradford said he was a special instrument sent by God above their good expectations. Not only did he help them learn how to live, but he also helped them sign this treaty, this agreement, so that there would be peace between them and the Indians. And so in the fall of 1621, the Pilgrims gathered together for a bountiful harvest that we know today as Thanksgiving. 90 Winnipeg Indians joined 50 Pilgrims, and they had 3 days of feasting, fellowship, and prayer. And that's why we celebrate Thanksgiving. You see, Thanksgiving has a deep, long roots that have to do with God. What a blessing that is. And so, just like these Native Americans and these Pilgrims gave thanks to God, don't you think we should give thanks to God for the things that we have today? What's something somebody's thankful for that they want to share? Does anybody have anything they're thankful for? I'm thankful to hear that Tabitha got her dog back. I think that's awesome. Anybody else have a dog or an animal that they love in their family? Yeah, it's great to have a pet around, right? So that's a blessing. I'm thankful that Sister Becky doesn't have cancer. Is anybody else thankful for that? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful for people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Anybody else thankful for that?
Amen.
We've had some of that, right? Praise the Lord for that. I mean, there's tons of things we have to be thankful for. And you know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? It says, God's word tells us, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, in everything, give thanks. But let me ask you a question. Do we always give thanks for everything we face in life?
No.
No, we don't. We're going to be honest, right? If we're honest with ourselves, we probably don't give thanks for everything God does for us in life. Do you take some stuff for granted? I take some things for granted. Do you take people for granted? Do you take God for granted? Yeah, we do. Has anybody ever made one of those dreadful promises? God, if you just deliver me out of this situation, I will fill in the blank. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll read the Bible every day. I'll pray every day. Anybody ever made one of those promises and not kept it? That's a tough thing to do, right? So if there's anybody we take for granted, I would say the two biggest things people we take for granted are God and our family members. Because that's the other thing is your family, the people you say you love the most. Sometimes you treat them the worst, don't you? You say, I try to treat them good. That's what I want to do. But it ends up, you end up treating them the worst. So yeah, we take things for granted. I think we have more blessings than we could possibly remember. I really do. But how long has it been since you just took a moment and said, God, thank you for all these different things? I mean, how long has it been since you not just came and prayed and asked for a bunch of stuff, but you just came and just thank God for what he did? Think about that. Now, it's easy to thank God for the big things, like not having cancer. But what about the little things? The little things we often forget. I'm not talking about thanking him for material things, but for family, for love, for everything, for life. I read an article this week that said, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than 6 million people that won't survive this week. 6 million people that won't survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you're doing better than 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 70% of the people in the world. If you have money in the bank, a dollar bill in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere in your house, you're among the top 8% of the world's most wealthy people. What a wake-up call, you know? It's sad that most of us ask and ask and ask God for things every day without thanking him. The fact that God has blessed us more than we could ever imagine is amazing. It's an awesome thing to be part of God's family, isn't it? You agree with that? Speaking of God's family, I read this story. It's kind of funny. I read this story about an atheist. He, in this situation, this atheist wanted to become part of God's family, right? And I guess we all get to that point in life where there's a point where we want to become part of God's family. We want to be saved by the blood of Jesus. We want to be forgiven of our sins. Well, there was this atheist. He was taking a walk through the woods, and he was admiring all that he believed evolution gave him. He's like, what majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. So as he's walking alongside the river, he hears this rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned to look and he sees a 7-foot grizzly bear coming towards him. He runs as fast as he can down the path. He looks over his shoulder and the bear is closing in on him. So he ran even faster. He was scared. The tears are coming to his eyes. He looked over his shoulder and there the bear was even closer. So his heart is pumping. He's running. And he trips and he falls down. And he goes to pick himself back up and he turns around. And right above him he sees a bear with his right hand getting ready to come down. At that instant, this atheist, he cries out, "Oh my God!" And then time stops. The bear froze. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving. A bright light shone upon the man, and a voice came from the sky and said, "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that I don't exist. And you even credit my beautiful creation to some cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Can I count on you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light. And he said, "I know it would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now. But could you please make the bear a Christian?" "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The river ran again. And the sounds of the forest resumed. And then the bear dropped his right paw. He brought both paws together, bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, please bless this food that I am about to receive, for I am truly thankful." Amen. Be careful what you pray for, folks. It is good to be part of the family of God. That bear was thankful for his food, and I'm thankful for mine today. But it's important for us to realize that everything we have, the Bible says every good gift comes from our Father above. It's also good for us to be thankful to our family, right? Thankful for our family's goodness to us. How often do we really take our spouse, our parents, our children, our friends for granted? We forget about how faithful they've been to us through their love and their compassion, their commitment to us. And you know, well, your home is supposed to be your castle. That's supposed to be your space of protection. Sometimes the most damage gets done in the four walls of your home. In the ministry God has blessed me with, I've been blessed to see people come to the Lord as their Savior. I love that. I've been blessed to see new babies born. I've been able to see two marriages come together. I've been able to see people from different backgrounds come together and get married. But you know what I've also seen? I've also been part of an executor of a will where bestowing a piece of inheritance, a piece of land, divided a family forever. I've been part in ministry and saw a little word of gossip separate a family. I've seen unforgiven sin in families that cause people not to be invited to public agreements. I've seen name callings. I've seen people harbor grudges. And I've seen families shredded apart. And it breaks my heart. Because that's not what God wants for us. Folks, we got to thank God for our family members. And we got to love our family members. We have to forgive them. And we have to ask them to forgive us. We got to learn to appreciate our family members as we appreciate God. Husbands, remember the girl you met at that altar? The one who bore your child? Stood by your side faithfully and thankfully? Why don't you express your way to that woman in a new and romantic way? Like that old Kenny Rogers song, it says, "Buy me a rose, call me from work, open the door for me. What would it hurt?" Why don't you do that, gentlemen? Wives, remember that man you fell in love with, swooned over the first time you kissed him, your foot went up. It's like, you remember that guy? Maybe that was a movie I saw. But anyway, remember that guy you fell in love with? Be thankful for what he's done to you and for what he's been to you. Don't let a little gray hair or a little extra weight bring any negativity to your feelings. Love that man. Children, be thankful for that mother who held you in her belly for 9 months. That's a long time. How long has your dad carried you? About 10 seconds, right? We don't have hips. We can't do that for a long time. Be thankful to your mother for what she's done. Be thankful for your dad for what he's sacrificed for you by going to work and help supporting, and your mom too. Be thankful for the family and the friends that help mold you, kids. Parents, be thankful for the children God has blessed you with. Remember the joy they brought into your life at times. My children are 21 and 16. And I cherish the adventures we've had together. And boy, there has been some adventures. Children's may have their ups and downs. They may sow their wild oats. But it's our love and our prayers and our understanding that'll carry them through. Siblings, be thankful for the years and times you get together. Because there'll be a time where miles will spread you apart. And you won't be able to have those joyous times you had when you were younger. Widows and widowers, remember your spouse who had passed away with pleasant memories and a thankful heart. Maybe you can write your thoughts down, but think of the joy you're going to have when you meet him in heaven again someday. Praise the Lord. Now I realize there's some people in the congregation here that might not have had these great family experiences I'm talking about. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're separated. Maybe you're single right now and you feel alone. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you've been through an abusive family situation. I want to assure you that Jesus is the only thing that's going to help you through that. It's not me. It's not your friends. It's Jesus. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." If you fall into that category and you got some heartbreak in your heart, ask Jesus to make your life meaningful again. Ask him, say, "God, make my life meaningful." That may sound like a simple prayer, but we got a Savior who loves to bring restoration into lives. That's what he's all about. You're a blessed person if you're a child of God. Amen? Amen. We have every reason to be thankful for the Lord and to give him praise for the blessings he's given us. One more thought and I close. In the U.S., Thanksgiving Day is special. It's not a speed bump between Halloween and Christmas. It's a special day set aside to honor our Lord and Savior. It started with the pilgrims who went through quite a tough time getting over here. But even though they lost loved ones, they had meager supplies, they were still blessed, and they celebrated with their new friends. This Thanksgiving, too, I hope you're going to be able to look over what God has done for you, what God has done for your family, as you give thanks for the Lord. We are so fortunate to live in the United States of America. We live in the land of opportunity. Even when things are tough, we have a place to sleep. We have food to eat. We have people who love us. And what's more is all this stuff is temporary. The real gift to be thankful for is not that God walks with you daily, but that he gave his son as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary to save us for our sins and give us eternal life. Listen to John 14, 1 through 3. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." I don't know about you, but I'm excited. You know where I'm going to be one day? I'm going to be in heaven. I was talking with Brother Larry before church started. His stomach hurts. And you know what he said? "It hurts, but one day I'm not going to feel these pains anymore. Amen. One day I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be there too." And if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you believe in him, if you've asked him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, then you're going to be there too, and you're going to celebrate eternal life someday. You know, the thing about America is, as great as it is, this isn't where our real citizenship is if you're a Christian. Philippians 3:20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Let me tell you, if you have anything to be thankful for in life this year, it should be your salvation. I believe that's the biggest blessing any of us can have as Christians. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior today? Have you accepted him? Asked him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? If not, why don't you make that decision today and make it be the best Thanksgiving ever? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God. We thank you for how amazing you are, for how patient you are, Lord, for how much you love us, Lord, for all the things that you do for us, Lord. We thank you most for giving your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. God, without that, we wouldn't be standing here today. Without that, Lord, we wouldn't be able to go to heaven someday. Lord, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we enjoy the turkeys, the stories of the pilgrims, as we enjoy America setting aside this day, whether they believe in you, whether they worship you or not, this day is intended to be set aside to give thanks to you, as our whole nation does that, Lord. Let us remember the things you've done for America, the things you've done for our families, the things you do each day, God. Help us to remember, Lord. God, also help us to remember how important our family is, Lord. God, if we have any broken relationships in our family, help us to try to forgive them, to try to right them. God, we can't control what the other person does, Lord, but we can make sure we're right by you, Lord. Help us, God, to come together and be united with our family, to be united with you, and help us to be, again, a United States of America. If anybody needs to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray.